born on the Nativity of Our Blessed Mother and celebrating 10 years on the air, The Winds of Change.
Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. It's good to be back. I feel like I've been gone for quite some time, and I'm going to do it solo today. Tony is out, but I got a lot of stuff I want to share with you today. And of course, this is the election day, so I hope you voted. I voted yesterday. I've got my card here. Thank you for voting, it says. I stood for about an hour. Gosh, I tell you, there's two different places. One place over here at the Goldblatts on Ashland in Chicago. It was just the line went totally around the block. That was about midday, about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And so there's no way I'm gonna be able to wait here. So I came back and found another place, a voting center, whatever they call it, the voting center. Over on Damon in Washington near the United Center. And so it was not quite as bad. I waited about an hour, but it was worth it. It was worth it. I'm glad I did it, and I feel good. And it's our duty to participate in this in these elections. We're Jesus said we're supposed to be the leaven, the salt, the light. We vote our conscience. You know, as people of God who are obedient to the commandments of God and who participate in the sacred worship of God, we want to influence what we long for, what we pray for, is that our nation return to its core, its foundation built on Judeo-Christian principles and values, regard for the commandments of God, which interestingly was as I went to public schools, we were taught the Ten Commandments in school, and we prayed in the morning as we began school. We prayed before we went to lunch, and we prayed at the end of the day. That's in the public school here in the United States, and that all changed. I'm not quite sure exactly when. I think I was maybe in junior high school, or maybe the first year of my high school. I don't recall, but there was a sudden change. I wonder these days if they still pledge allegiance to the flag. I don't know, but my gosh, how things have changed in our nation, and so we wonder why. You know, we're in the state the situation of decay. As we are, where we've substituted genuine freedom, which is obedience to the laws of God, that we live as a free people. That's a genuine freedom. We're bound in order to be free, bound by the laws of God, as opposed to the free reign of the flesh. In other words, this is a free country. I can say and do anything I want. No, there's got to be parameters. There's got to be boundaries. And for this nation, those boundaries have been the laws of God, Judeo-Christian principles and values, the Bible. I mean, why, you know, we the president takes an oath with his hand placed on the Bible, you know, in God we trust. We're going to pray, and we'll pray for the to Our Lady for the election. It's a very important day. I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of tension out there. I think there has been for days and weeks and months, and perhaps for years already, as we've been watching all this craziness unfold. I'm thinking most especially of the. Can you imagine? I was at the CVS yesterday, and as I went there, the doors were all boarded up, and so I thought it was closed. I thought, well, this thing is shut down. And there were some workers on the outside, and I said, "Is it closed?" And he says, "No, it's one of those doors where as you approach the door, it slides open." And so, sure enough, it slid open. But I was at the pharmacy, and as I'm dealing with the clerk, to the side there's a window where people come up and they drive in, and all of a sudden a board was placed over the window there. So obviously they're getting ready for the possibility of social unrest, rioting and looting. And of course this is going on all over the city, certainly in the downtown area, but people are boarding up. Isn't that sad? It's just a very sad commentary on the times in which we live, where law-abiding citizens, people who are trying to safeguard and protect their businesses, their restaurants, their stores, their the pharmacies and all that, you kind of scratch your head, you know, what has happened? Where is law and order gone? And how is it that people are given I shouldn't say the freedom, but they're just what happens. What's been done has been done, and there's got to be a manner in which we put a stop to that, so that we can live again. It goes back. I've always said, you know, that if just take the Catholics in Chicago, just Catholics. We can say just Catholics, or we can say all the Christians. But again, it begs the question, how many truly live their Christian faith or their Catholic faith, who have a great sensitivity to God and to the things of God, all things sacred, and therefore a sensitivity to sin, which means that we do anything and everything to avoid sin, that we have a disposition to care for our neighbors, to care for our brothers and sisters, to act in a civil way, with a certain politeness and obedient to the law. I mean, my gosh, we've certainly succumbed to the wearing of masks. I mean, who would have imagined a year ago, right, that we would find ourselves where everybody, and I mean, we certainly conformed to that pretty quick. But when people have no regard for the law, then innocent people indeed, in fact, do suffer, and that's a testimony to how far we've deviated from God, the laws of God, our values, and our principles. And at the root of that, in a real way, is the breakdown of the family. And I would say, as I've said many times before, the absence of men, of fathers, fatherly men, men who are truly fathers, who really truly are protectors and providers and preparers, you know, who have that kind of that firmness, that discipline, that, you know, that they safeguard and prepare their children to be good citizens of the land. Where this is the crisis that so often we seem not to want to admit to or to correct. We need the prayers, and we're people of hope, and so we know that All we can do is adhere to the faith, vote our conscience, and know that, I'll tell you, it really, if life is expendable, if, as Mother Teresa said, I don't have the exact quote, but if we have no regard for the life of the most vulnerable, that's the child conceived in the womb, in the sanctuary of the womb, if we have no regard for that life, if that life is expendable, can be exterminated. And now, I thank you very much. I got my, thanks, Jasmine. So I was trying to make some coffee a little bit earlier and made a mess of it. But oh, this looks really good. So I have to take a break in a moment. We'll say the prayer and then we'll break and I can have a sip of that coffee. This is a kind of a Cuban coffee, I think. So anyway, so let's you get the point I'm making, everybody. It's really until we acknowledge what is at the root of the crisis in our society. It's a crisis of faith and it's a crisis of family, and we have to humbly acknowledge and admit that there needs to be a metanoia, a reawakening, a returning our hearts again to Almighty God, to think we can live without God, that we can put man at the center where God should be at the center, build on the foundation of God's life. I mean, Jesus, he speaks of the foolish and the wise. He says, you know, the foolish people, they build their house on sand. And he said, the rain comes and the wind blows and the house falls. It falls. It has no foundation. The wise, on the other hand, build on rock. And of course, that rock is God. And he says, yes, the rain comes and the wind blows, but the house, it doesn't collapse. It has a firm, rock-solid foundation. We gotta, you know, we're proving ourselves to be rather foolish, to a large extent. But the wise are out there, and they're often they're kind of bullied into silence. But I think there's a point. Maybe we're coming to that point sooner than later, where the God-fearing people, those who have this great sensitivity to God, therefore a great sensitivity to life, a great sensitivity to evil and sin, are going to awaken. I heard this yesterday. Give me liberty or give me death. In other words, if we can't be a free people, and again, it's not the free reign of the flesh, but it's being bound to the laws of God so that we can live in freedom, genuine freedom, peacefully, one with another, respecting the dignity of the other, give me liberty or give me death. And if we have nothing to die for, do we really live? Do we really have life? You got to think about all those down through the 200 plus years of our nation who gave their lives so that we could be a free people. A free people. Actually, the prayer to Our Lady spells it out, I think, or speaks it in a rather beautiful way. So let's begin with the prayer, the Angelus, and the litany, and we make this prayer for the nation, for our nation, at this very critical time. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. And for our nation, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God, the Holy Ghost, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Holy Mary, pray for us. Holy Mother of God, pray for us. Holy Virgin of Virgins, pray for us. Mother of Christ, pray for us. Mother of Divine Grace, pray for us. Mother Most Pure, pray for us. Mother Most Chaste, pray for us. Mother Inviolate, pray for us. Mother Undefiled, pray for us. Mother Most Amiable, pray for us. Mother Most Admirable, pray for us. Mother of Good Counsel, pray for us. Mother of our Creator, pray for us. Mother of our Savior, pray for us. Virgin Most Prudent, pray for us. Virgin Most Venerable, pray for us. Virgin Most Renowned, pray for us. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. Virgin Most Merciful, pray for us. Virgin Most Faithful, pray for us. Mirror of Justice, pray for us. Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. Cause of our joy, pray for us. Spiritual vessel, pray for us. Vessel of honor, pray for us. Singular vessel of devotion, pray for us. Mystical rose, pray for us. Tower of David, pray for us. Tower of ivory, pray for us. House of Gold, pray for us. Ark of the Covenant, pray for us. Gate of Heaven, pray for us. Morning Star, pray for us. Health of the Sick, pray for us. Refuge of Sinners, pray for us. Comfort of the Afflicted, pray for us. Help of Christians, pray for us. Queen of Angels, pray for us. Queen of Patriarchs, pray for us. Queen of Prophets, pray for us. Queen of Apostles, pray for us. Queen of Martyrs, pray for us. Queen of Confessors, pray for us. Queen of Virgins, pray for us. Queen of all saints, pray for us. Queen conceived without original sin, pray for us. Queen assumed into heaven, pray for us. Queen of the Family, pray for us. Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, pray for us. Queen of Peace, pray for us. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Very good. I think I didn't follow through with my previous thought, but I said if every Catholic in the city of Chicago, every Christian were to take seriously their faith, the city would be totally transformed. Our nation would be totally transformed. But unfortunately, you know, we're so adversely influenced by radical secularism that I think we've come to this point of crisis where there has to be a reawakening, as I say, a metanoia, which is a change of heart, renewed hearts. We're being put to the test. We're being put to the test, and which means that, as Jesus said, you must declare yourself: are you with me, or are you against me? Are you hot, or are you cold? Because if you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. Again, are we a foolish people who build the house, our lives, our nation on sand, guilty of all kinds of idolatries? Or are we a wise people building on the foundation of a rock-solid foundation, that is, the foundation of God's life? And as he says, Jesus, the rain comes and the wind blows, but in that case, the house, it will not collapse. And for those of us who are Catholics, that foundation is made present to us in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This is where we're grounded. This is where we recommit weekly, even daily. We re-utter our fiat, our yes. We offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, our spiritual worship. We're then fed with the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Christ, and sent into mission to be his emissaries, to be his disciples, to give witness, to be light in the darkness, the salt of the earth. So, vote if you haven't voted. Today is the day. We're going to take a break. We shall be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
It's been quite a year, hasn't it? Riots, businesses looted and burned, abortion up to the moment of birth, COVID-19 shutdowns, where churches are considered non-essential, and a false version of American history is being taught in schools. Yes, this is probably the most important election in our lifetime. The preservation of certain aspects of the Constitution is in jeopardy. what can be done. Pray and fast. Ask for the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Storm heaven with prayer. We can't tell you who to vote for, but we can tell you to vote the teachings of your faith. Winds of Change asks you to vote. Vote today. Vote.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ.
New from EWTN Publishing, A Crisis in Culture, How Secularism is Becoming a Religion, by Father George Rutler. In this timely and penetrating book, Father Rutler shows how the West's decade-long cultural assault against Christianity is finally reaching its inevitable conclusion, the self-destruction of our culture and society. In Father Rutler's book, discover why the Catholic faith is the only means by which civilization can be restored, the difference between nostalgia and tradition, why the 20th century produced more martyrs than all previous Christian centuries combined, and what happens when we let the government, rather than the church, become our mother? These are some of the insights you'll gain in A Crisis in Culture, How Secularism is Becoming a Religion. Available now at EWTNRC.com. By Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So Tony's not here. I don't know if I mentioned to you that Tony was. Tony won't be here this week.
What? Not this week?
This week, yeah. So Nick has kind of stepped in for a second.
Yeah, that's all right. I keep you company for a few seconds, Father, or for a few minutes, because you know I know you don't mind being by yourself, but I figured I'd step in with you to keep you company.
I'm not quite used to being by myself, so but this is good for me, and I just got my coffee, you know. I wanted.
Yes, Jasmine brought it to you too.
We tried to make some. This is a new coffee machine that makes like an espresso.
Oh, you gave me espresso once, but I'm not a fan of it.
That was Turkish. That was the Turkish way. But this is it's not really an espresso machine. Our operation director has it, and I thought, let's see if it just keeps me energetic.
It smells good, yeah.
Can you smell it?
Yeah, when I walked in, I could smell it right there. I didn't have time for coffee until I got to work this morning, so I didn't have a chance to get it until then.
Okay, so, Nick, before I continue with my stuff, I wanted to ask you
something. With your stuff?
I've got really a fantastic article I want to share with
everybody, yeah.
Called Catholics as Strangers, but... How was your, because Halloween is your big holiday.
Well, it was a little bit different this year because I had to work and my folks, they were spending time with the grandkids and it was a lot of fun and they had a good time. And we did a movie night like we usually do, we had watched the comedy film about Dracula with Love at First Bite with George Harrison. And it was funny. We've watched that for years. So We did a movie night and we put up a sign for trick-or-treaters, no trick-or-treating here, because, you know, we're just trying to play it safe, sure. And we didn't have too many around there. However, Amanda had a lot of them around there in her neighborhood in Villa Park, and also her dad came up with a really cool idea, which is a candy dispenser that looked like a slide. They walk, the trick-or-treaters knock on the door or ring the bell, they walk up, open the bag up, and then, you know, it slid down, kind of like a drive-thru or something like that. Yeah, that was really cool. Her dad really came up with something really neat there.
So we had to cancel. What was it? Friday. Friday. Halloween was
Saturday.
Saturday. We were already celebrating the Feast of All Saints, but they had scheduled a drive-in for our school Halloween, so that the kids. I don't know exactly how they were going to do it, but they would come.
Yeah,
in their
I know
cars.
What you're talking about. It's like a truck treat, is what it was. My friend Melissa talked about that. She took her kids to it, and then when I was going to Amanda's house. One time on the weekend, they did that in my town of Westmont, too, in the church parking lot. There's people set up, and they were masked up, just like I am right here, and also masked and gloved up in costume. And kids are walking. It's kind of like a flea market set up where different people in the trucks, and everybody's spaced out in a parking lot. Yeah. But, you know, it's a way of doing it outside and handing a candy to them that way, which was pretty impressive. And they had a lot. I forget it was, like, before Halloween that it was going on, so... They had a pretty good turnout when I was driving through.
So unfortunately, we did not do it because the Archdiocese issued new directives on Friday. On Friday, and we're not permitted to have any kind of do any of this giving out candy or even for this. These were directives that are being issued in preparation for the holidays, the holy season of. Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that, and Our Lady of Guadalupe, and there's this year they don't want it's I don't know if it's that we've slipped back into a what's the city in stage two or
stage I'm thinking
three or four
because I know we were getting to like five, but then I think it was pushed back because all the different restaurants closed down too at one point. So I think it's at stage four. If I'm wrong, I mean, I don't watch the news as much about it anymore, but I think it's around
there. So stage four is a complete lockdown? Is that
it? No, I think it's just the restaurants and the bars shutting down inside dining or only limiting to like 25 or less like that.
Okay. So anyway, the but there's something that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard different things going on, so that's why. But yeah. I haven't have been so busy, I haven't had a chance to keep up with it. Still just practicing, you know, the stuff I've been doing, masked and gloved up, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so anyway, we had, there's no, like, for instance, we for the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we have the Las Mañanitas at 5 o'clock. They come to sing or serenade Our Lady. We can do that. The people mm-hmm. will come and they can do that. But we have to, of course, do the social distancing. But normally our tradition is, and in most places, is as people come, they're on their way to work. This year, I think it happens to be on a Saturday, but they would have...
Oh, my mom corrected me. George Hamilton was the name of the person in the
George
movie.
George
Hamilton.
Watch.
Okay. Yeah, I said the wrong name.
Oh, so your mom's listening. You know, we've got a listener.
I told my mom and dad and Amanda that I'm going to be on. If you're around the radio, you can hear me. Hi, yeah. Mom. Hi, Dad. Hey, Amanda.
Yeah. They're going to Florida, or they came back from Florida?
They came back from Florida before, you know, it was added to list. So they've been home for quite a few weeks right now.
Now, is your mom still teaching?
No. Huh? She's still nervous about it. And, yeah. you know, she's been going up and down about it. But with my dad's cancer, she's just trying to be careful, too, as well.
True.
But no, not right now. But she's still going up and down about it.
Yeah.
But no, she's not doing that right now.
Okay. Anyway, so... yeah, so there's they've no chocolate. No, we have hot, after the Las Mañanitas, say we always have hot chocolate and mm-hmm. Sweet bread and all that kind of stuff, and we can't do any of that this year. So those regulations, that's one among many things. But anyway, we'll see what happens in the next few days.
Yeah, I'm hopeful and trying to be optimistic about it and everything. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just trying to be hopeful about it, too. And just be realistic with how, just trying to be cautious as well, too.
Exactly.
I'm glad you're doing okay, too. I heard that you're doing all right as well.
Yeah. I was in Rochester last week and got back on Friday, had a full weekend,
mm-hmm.
Had two funerals, and... here it's always busy.
Right.
This is I always say this is like an emergency room in a hospital or like the intensive care unit of a hospital. There's just always something going on. You don't know from one day to the next what's going to come to the doors. But but thank God we're able to minister to the people, and we're thank God really. I have to say quite honestly that we have increased in numbers, the people coming to Mass and coming for adoration, coming for the not only the Sunday Masses, but the evening Masses as well. And that's, it's really edifying. It really is,
and it's gratifying as well. And it's people need their faith these days with everything that's going on, like you've expressed, to keep the faith, especially with the signs of the times and the way things have changed. Everybody needs it. I mean, there's times where, you know, my faith goes up and down or get lost a little bit, but try to keep it with everything that's going on and try to remain hopeful and optimistic and cautious at the same time.
Yeah, when we're in the battle, it's always a challenge, you know. And it seems like we're in a bit of a battle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a challenge. It's that's why, you know, when Jesus says, you know, don't he kind of chides a gentleman. He says, you know, why? Really, he's speaking to all of us, but he says, you know, why? He says, oh, you have little faith. He says, look at the birds in the sky. I provide for the birds and the flowers of the field. They're beautifully adorned.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're more important to me than the birds and the flowers. And so, you know, you man of little faith, enough already, worrying about tomorrow when tomorrow hasn't come. And today has troubles enough of its own. I love the realism of it all. Yeah, today has suffering sufficient for the day. I'm with you today. I'm going to get you through this day. And I'll be with you tomorrow, and I'll get you through tomorrow, and I'll be with you the day after. You just got to keep your eyes on me. And this is a thing that I just want to impress upon everybody, is that, you know, life is not meant to be easy. In fact, in a moment, I'm going to share this article that I just found absolutely inspiring.
It's let's get to that right now, because I know you're excited to get that on there.
We'll take a break in just a second. I just want to finish this one thought. You got to – okay, yeah. Okay, Nick. Thanks for stopping over.
It's always a pleasure to be on with you, Father.
Absolutely.
Always.
Very good. Thanks, Nick. He's got to get over there because he's got to put us into the break. But in any case, it's Jesus, and this is the realism of faith, is he didn't deceive us. I've said this to you so many times, people. He doesn't deceive us. He said, yes, you're going to have trouble in this world, but take courage, be at peace. I've conquered the world. And with that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, this article absolutely relates to what I've just said. It's called Catholics as Strangers. And I was really, because it conveys in a beautiful way the very things that I believe in the deep recesses of my soul. And I'm excited to share this with you. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
It's been quite a year, hasn't it? Riots, businesses looted and burned, abortion up to the moment of birth, COVID-19 shutdowns, where churches are considered non-essential, and a false version of American history is being taught in schools. Yes, this is probably the most important election in our lifetime. The preservation of certain aspects of the Constitution is in jeopardy. What can be done? Pray and fast. Ask for the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Storm heaven with prayer. We can't tell you who to vote for, but we can tell you to vote the teachings of your faith. Winds of Change asks you to vote. Vote today. Vote.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church. And a security person will be on site to register and to participate in the Holy Mass. And for more information, go to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell.
St. Stanislaus Kostka School has in-person and virtual learning plans for the 2020-21 school year, and scholarships are available. For a virtual tour or more information of St. Stan's School, call 773-278-4560 or 773-270-1553. To see what St. Stan's School has to offer, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, faith, virtue, valor, an expressway to excellence.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And again, Tony is back to work, believe it or not. Now, he normally works during the night, but as they're going back into their, I guess, in-person working, they're going through all kind of training this week. So he may be back Thursday and maybe Friday. He may not be back, but after this week, he should be back on the show with me, so we miss him, but it was nice having Nick over here for a little bit. Anyway, I want to share with you this. This was a beautiful article, and I'm going to give you the two quotes and then kind of break this down for you, but I thought it was, especially in view of the fact that we celebrated All Saints Day, and yesterday was the commemoration of the faithful departed. And many people have this a little confused, but in their thinking. But All Saints Day is the celebration of all the saints. You got all the saints that are in the calendar. You know, we have, like, for instance, today is the feast of Saint Martin the Poor's. And so every day, most days every day somewhere in the world there's feasts being celebrated of the saints of the church who are on the calendar. They've been canonized by the church, and we have recourse to them in prayer. Then, of course, there are those who are not on the calendar. It could be members of our family, our grandparents, our parents, who knows? But those who lived exemplary, really holy lives and are in heaven, enjoy already the beatific vision. We don't know who we would hope that we would hope that that's really the goal of all of us, but we can't say for certain, right? Whereas those who are canonized by the church, it's basically a way of saying for certain that we can say that this person is already in heaven enjoying the beatific vision. On the commemoration of the faithful departed, we're more conscious of those who are in the state of the final purgation. In other words, they're being purged of any inordinate attachments to life in this world. It's a purging of any sins. These are the people who die in the grace of God, in friendship with God. But as I mentioned to the people at the Mass yesterday, if I were to die, as I mentioned to you now, in this instant, if I were to just drop dead, I know for certain I wouldn't go to heaven. I know that I still need purgation in my life. I need to be purged of inordinate attachments to this world, and it's a process. In fact, maybe later in the week I'll get into the 10 steps, the ladder of divine graces toward perfection. The scripture says, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." You know, it's that we're being perfected, but we have to be disposed and receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit. Part of it is understanding that we are, in fact, strangers in a foreign land. And this Father John Paracone, who's, I believe he teaches at Fordham University, but this is just a fantastic article. But just taken from the article, this world, as lovely as our good God has created it, is not our home, not where we should be, not where we belong. Each of us has been created for joys far deeper, far higher, and far more infinite. It's a different way of saying what I often say to the people here, is that we're not condemned to be here forever. As beautiful as life is, and because we know our destiny, we're committed to life in this world, but we're not meant to be here forever. Another quote extrapolating from the article, "We poor, banished children of Eve suffer an exile from which we desire relief, always searching for the place where we truly belong. How else to describe our mission in this world? We are on an adventurous search for a perfect happiness not to be found here. We are nomads desperately hunting for the pearl of great price, pilgrims on their way to a prized destination." It just says everything. These are words that I often use. We're pilgrims. We're wayfarers. We're on the journey. We are on the way. And this is part of the... this is how we understand our lives. Or we should, because it would really help to put things in perspective. But the article, let me just go through the whole article here. Father John speaks about these rather difficult passages that bring a bit of a shiver to us when we hear them. For instance, when the Son of Man come, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Or think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. It doesn't mean literally a sword. It's metaphorical, but it's in other words, it's the sword of the Spirit that separates good from evil and reveals the truth. So that often if we're living the faith in a world that has become radically secularized, we become the cause for division if we don't go with the flow. You know, we're always pushing against a current, swimming against a current, pushing against a wind. Then, of course, there's, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it far from thee. Jesus doesn't mean this literally, but he means, you know, to take very seriously the call to holiness of life, to obedience to the commandments of God, to seek sanctification and to reject, renounce sin. But he says another scripture passage that is perplexing, but is it? I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, from the letter, first letter of St. Peter. What does that mean? The epistle of St. Peter should occupy our attention for a moment. Not just for a moment, but every day. Peter addresses us as strangers. Strangers. He's the first pope, and he, filled with the Holy Spirit, brings us to realize that the truth of what he says, it can only be understood by properly grasping the world in which we find ourselves. The world ought to be strange to us, not strange in the sense of wicked, but strange in the sense of foreign, unfamiliar, far beneath our aspirations. Indeed, this world, as lovely as our good God has created it, is not our home, not where we should be, not where we belong. Each of us has been created for joys far deeper, far higher, far more infinite. And then he quotes a Chesterton, who says that for the Catholic, it is a fundamental dogma of the faith that all human beings, without exception whatever, were especially made, were shaped, and pointed like shining arrows for the end of hitting the mark of beatific bliss, that is, the eternal contemplation of God. Though we accept our faith as dwelling in this valley of tears, as we pray in the Salve Regina, it is not the state for which we were created. It's the result of original sin. So it is within this ontological strangeness that innocence finds its home. It stands as a principal trait of the Catholic striving for sanctity. He says it would be a betrayal of its nobility if it were misunderstood in some other way. And it, when he says innocence, strangers, it is within a strangeness that innocence finds its home. Innocence is not a shrinking embarrassment before evil, nor a childish ignorance of all things wicked. It is not a cartoon. It is a heroic canvas. Its splendor lies in its all-consuming love of the good, making sin something uninteresting, unworthy of attention. Innocence knows wickedness well, but loves goodness more. It avoids sin not out of puritanical stiffness, but from an extravagance born of having seen the face of the crucified Savior. It feels strange in the presence of sin because it is something so alien to the longing of its heart. So yes, for Catholics, this world is indeed strange, or should be. It is this mystery to which St. Augustine gives those very famous words on the very first page of his Confessions, and I quote, "Thou hast made our hearts, O God, and our hearts shall not rest till they rest in Thee. Every good and blessed delight that God showers upon us in this life is only a morsel of what awaits us in the ecstasies of heaven." And Scripture says, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love Him. So he says, you know, that the books or the music in which we thought the beauty was located will betray us if we trust them. It is not in them, but only comes through them. And what comes through them is longing. These things, the beauty, the memory of the past, are good images of what we really desire. But if they are mistaken for the thing itself, they turn into dumb idols, breaking the hearts of their worshipers. For they are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of the flower we have not found, news from a country we have never yet visited. And so it is that the Holy Church begs her children to acts of mortification, to keep our eyes on that which befits our dignity, not on the fleeting flashes of this world's delights. Not that we should not love created things, but we love them with an ordered love, all ordered to God. That's why, you know, when St. Paul says, you do not give free rein to the flesh, because the flesh of its very nature will lust against the Spirit. It goes back to what I said at the beginning of the hour, that we're bound to the laws of God, which help to order life in such a way that we live peacefully and freely, one among others. And he quotes here, you know, St. Francis or Chesterton, who taught the world how to enjoy enjoyment. Think about that. How to enjoy enjoyment. If not for consistent bodily penance, man will fall in love with shadows, leaving the glorious reality behind. So stands the plight of modern man, to become infatuated with shadows, which is madness. Catholicism is sanity preached to a planet of lunatics. The words of Chesterton. Catholicism is sanity preached to a planet of lunatics. Gosh, it makes more and more sense, doesn't it? As you look around and you see what's going on. The pilgrim, quote-unquote, is... So we poor, banished children of Eve suffer an exile from which we desire relief, always searching for the place where we truly belong. How better to describe our mission in this world? We're on an adventurous search for a perfect happiness not to be found here. We are nomads, desperately hunting for the pearl of great price, as Scripture says, pilgrims on their way to a prized destination. We rest occasionally, but only as a pause, as we necessarily make our way forward. St. Thomas rightly defines man as man on the way. The journey may be strewn with obstacles, but the pilgrim tackles them, then moves steadily forward, stumbling forward, rejoicing. No room for sentimentality here, only the blazing truth of the church. Urgency beckons. There is a place where we must be. No self-pity at setbacks, no falling back due to the severities of the climb, only joy that we are on our way, that God has marked out for us the way, and that His graces guarantee our final arrival home. Herein lies the reversal of melancholic description of modern of this of Leo Strauss's melancholic description of modern man's dilemma, the joyless pursuit of joy. He says that modern man has made the world not the place through which we pass, but the place beyond which there is nothing to pass towards. How sad, really, when you think about that. Modern man has buried himself in a tomb of his own doing and makes merry of his entombment. He's breached the walls of Holy Church. So he goes on to say that how rare it is the mandate from the pulpits of saving one's soul. Rather, now it's about saving the environment. But, as he says, the environment is indeed sinfully wasted, but only because man has first wasted his soul. And he calls us to love of the cross. Instead, we hear often the cheery duty of assisting others to be at ease with their sins, which is completely contrary to biblical teaching and the teachings of the church. Now, the Savior, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, bequeathed to His Holy Church only one mission, to carry us to heaven. It is salvific, not sociological. He says all other temporal concerns are only mirages fashioned in the laboratories of hell. Just about at the end of the hour, but this is a very interesting. But isn't this the case? And this is why the saints always said, if you keep death before you, you live a holy life. You know, we're never going to be satisfied in this world. To try to be satisfied here is to sell out the superficiality, to be superficial. Now, the Lord, it is an adventure because we walk in Christ and. And the roots go deep, but it means, as I say so often, you know, that we have to have the humility to be, in a sense, taken through the desert or through the dark of the night, you know, to come really into that, to that oasis of life-giving water, into the light that is more powerful, no matter how dark the dark is. This light, His light, is more powerful. So anyway, boy, that was a fast hour, actually, just to hear alone. Nick, thanks for stopping over. Everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back. I'll be back certainly on Thursday, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ciao.
What's there to say? When the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. see.